1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Have the author of a very interesting book coming on here in a second. Thank God for DirecTV. And Mike Schaefer is, as you know, a major fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they look great. So happy I could see that game yesterday. I tuned in the third quarter, and they still had some people left. So, all right, Pittsburgh. Good going. 16-0 Ravens. And then we saw the Panther-Redskin game. Then we saw the Packer-Jet game. We saw the Charger-Raider game. We saw all of them. Miami and Seattle. I even looked at the game that was on over-the-air TV. I looked at the Philadelphia Cowboy game just to see if it looked any different on CBS than it did on my DirecTV channel, which carries CBS anyway. That's a great deal for CBS because you see at four, five, six different games, and you're getting all the commercials. And if I'm talking like a neophyte, I am. This is my first season with Direct and Satellite and all of the NFL games. And Schaefer can only look on with wonder and amazement. Why does he live in an apartment complex where the landlord won't let him put a dish out in the thing and his wife hates him? Would she let you do that? Sure she would. Of course she would. So you're going to have to get that dish, man. Move into a house. Oh, it's nice. And I got mine on the ground, so when I stand in front of it, I don't get nothing. So when the gardener stands in front of it watering the lawn with something, I hope it's a hose, it's great. 1-800-449-8686. Brad Rifkin is a former sports analyst, a bookie, has done a lot of things. You worked in Las Vegas, Brad, I understand, for a while as an odds maker. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir. Right.
And you've written a book called God Hates Your Football Team, which I think is an interesting title for a book, but the research behind this indicates something that we've battled over in this country for a long time, and that's prayer, not in classrooms, but on the football field, right?
Yeah, it is an interesting topic, and I set out to find out just exactly whether or not prayer matters in a football game, and I made sure that I focused down on the football.
Why not? Why football? Why not baseball? Why not basketball? Why not hockey? Why not other sports? Why prayer and football?
Really, because I think football and prayer go together. I think that sport, football, is in the mind of the American sports fan prayer friendly, and I think it begins with football teams holding hands and praying, and we see a lot of ball players make a touchdown and pray. There's folk country songs called Kick Me Through the Goalposts of Life, Dear Lord. There's Touchdown Jesus at Notre Dame. And I think just the association with prayer and football is quite evident.
Now, in your book, God Hates Your Football Team, are you an atheist?
I don't know what I am. I titled that book that way because I find that most players, and I found this out in our research, most players that cross themselves or pray visibly during a football game, and by most, Phil, I mean 87% of all players that pray or cross themselves usually suffer career-ending injuries within the first 3 years of their career.
And guys that pray on the field?
That is correct.
How did you track that? I mean, there's a lot of...
We tracked the players that we saw who crossed themselves, who prayed, who pointed to the sky after a score, who pointed to the sky after a big reception, players that would push their teammates away in the end zone after making a touchdown, go down to one knee and say a prayer. We tracked all of them, and we found out that within the first 3 years, they suffer career-ending injuries, and generally injuries along the lines of a compound fracture, some very gruesome injuries. Also, most teams that begin a game with prayer wind up with losing records.
And over how long?
Over a three-year period.
So football teams that pray together at the beginning of the game?
Pray together at the beginning of the game, pray together at the halftime. Teams that say, let's take a knee and pray, generally wind up, forgive me for the phrase, Phil, generally wind up stinking the joint out. 29%. They win only 29% of their games.
Well, what? Okay, now, when you say most teams, most games, I know for a fact you got Kurt Warner, who is a Christian. You got Notre Dame, as you mentioned, with Touchdown Jesus.
These are the exceptions. We found that Kurt Warner and Notre Dame and all of these, some of these players that you see, they're the exceptions rather than the rule. Most of the players...
Well, how did you find out about most players that we don't see on TV? So I guess you're just talking about players that we see on TV.
Right, the ones we see on TV. But I had operatives in football stadiums across America during the professional seasons of the last three, from 1997 to 1999. And they observed players that crossed themselves. We would follow those players game to game, town to town. And within three seasons, they had a blown-out knee. They had a ruptured Achilles tendon. They had a rotator cuff problem, fractured ribs, collapsed lung. In one case, one of the players actually came down with cancer. And that's from just the...
So in other words, you set out to prove that God doesn't exist? Or...
I didn't set out to prove anything. I set out to find out what effect prayer had on football teams.
And what'd you find out?
That when they pray, they wind up stinking the joint out. And we had thought about that as a subtitle for the book. Jesus Hates Your Football Team, Stinking the Joint Out in the 90s, but we are into the 21st century now. And
well, you could have called it Stinking the Joint Out in the 21st Century.
We could have, but I didn't want to. We really wanted to just make the point that prayer's fine in your home. Prayer is fine in your church. Prayer is fine in your classroom. We know the Supreme Court has battled over this, but when you bring prayer out onto a football field and when you make it part of Monday night football and you make it part of a national television broadcast, suddenly it becomes something that's a little bit of a jinx. And that's what we found in our research, that praying, crossing yourself, in the case of Dennis Byrd of the New York Jets, Dennis was paralyzed during a regular season game a few years back. Before that game, our operatives, and the rumor was that he genuflected and crossed himself before a statue of St. Bernadette.
Wait a minute. Dennis Byrd is the New York Jet who was paralyzed?
He was paralyzed briefly, and the rumor is that...
That he carried a statue of St. Bernadette.
Yes, and that he crossed himself, and in that game, he went out and got caved. The guy is, like, stiff as a board. That's not what I call... And the rumor, of course, is... The very famous rumor, the Pittsburgh Steelers prayed as a team before every game for 30 years, and they stunk it out for 30 years until they decided to stop praying.
And they won four Super Bowls.
How do you figure that?
All right, let me give the number here, 1-800-449-8686. Talking to Brad Rifkin, author of Jesus Hates Your Football Team. 1-800-449-8686. The Pittsburgh Steelers prayed as a team before... The rumor is that the Steelers prayed before every game as a team for 30 years. They finally stop praying and they win four Super Bowls.
Isn't that amazing? They stop with all that Jesus stuff and they get four Super Bowls. I think, and I don't know, but God, I don't believe God is anthropomorphic, but I do believe that God probably gets sick to death just the same way. So in my book, Jesus Hates Your Football Team, I chronicled the relative success of prayer, and I came to the conclusion that when it comes to football, prayer doesn't work. The mix of Christianity and football has always been viewed as successful. Well, it doesn't work, and the Supreme Court has ruled that you can't do it. And
even though we have Kurt Warner, even though...
We got Kurt Warner, we got Notre Dame, but let me ask you a question. How many times does the Hail Mary work? Let me ask you that, Phil.
Okay, the Hail Mary, and for the...
Hail Mary is, it's that big pass at the end of the game.
Yeah, that's when the quarterback throws the ball up.
How many times does the Hail Mary work?
The Hail Mary doesn't work that much.
Bingo.
But you can't use that to prove that there's no such thing as God or there's no such...
I'm not saying there's no such thing as God. I'm saying that when it comes to football, prayer is baloney, doesn't work. Look at Deion Sanders. Went to Jesus 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
For 2 years, that guy has stunk it out. I mean, he has been terrible the last 2 years, ever since he went to Jesus. So we're just saying, if you want to win, take Jesus, put him in your glove compartment for 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon, get him out of the football stadiums, because what's happening is these ballplayers that turn to God, suddenly they start stinking it out from head to toe. We want winners on a football field. And
so in other words, take your religion and put it in the shelf for 3 hours on a Sunday?
Yes.
Isn't that a little hypocritical?
I'm saying whatever it takes to win, Phil. I don't know. Maybe it is, but we want some ball clubs that can win. We want to start seeing our teams win. If these guys are praying and they're losing, get it out of here. Just get it out of here. And in my book, Jesus Hates Your Football Team, I prove the best thing to do is take it and just get it. I mean, look at that, what do you call it? The guy who got paralyzed, that Dennis Byrd, the guy genuflexed to a statue and he's paralyzed 2 hours later. Come on!
You don't know that it has any relationship. All of this is apocryphal. All of this is it could be coincidence. You have no...
No, we've looked at over, you know, over a three-year period, they stink.
Over a three-year period, football players that pray stink.
Stink and rupture their Achilles tendon.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Not that I disagree, but I ain't necessarily going to agree either because I don't know that, you know, it's the last guy you saw cross himself after hitting a home run. Usually I see baseball players do it before they hit a home run. Football players do it after they score a touchdown. I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Brad Rifkin, author of Jesus Hates Your Football Team, Stinking It Out in the 21st Century and How Prayer and Football Don't Mix. It's the Phil Hendry Show. One 800 449 8686. Brad Rifkin, author of Jesus Hates Your Football Team, is my guest here on the Phil Hendry Show on this beautiful Tuesday. And again, Brad, you're saying that your statistics show most teams and most players that pray lose.
That's correct.
All right. What if these guys are losers to begin with?
Well, if they're losers to begin with, their prayer doesn't even help them. So prayer on a football field is...
Does prayer help no matter what?
I don't know. I'm just telling you that as a sports fan, I can tell you that prayer doesn't help, and I got the statistics to prove it. And
what about the example of Reggie White, who's a minister, who's a preacher?
Who opened his big fat mouth and got run out of the game. Reggie White is a rare example in a sport that is...
But Reggie White's a minister, and Reggie White is a guy who was successful as a football player and prays.
One guy. One guy out of I don't know how many that pray, cross themselves, genuflect, point to God in the sky, kiss the mama, kiss the cross around the neck, most of those guys wind up getting a hamstring pull or having a slip disc or a bulging disc in their neck or suffer paralysis after a late hit. So all these guys
that pray.
That's right.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Huntington Valley on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes,
yes ma'am, go ahead.
I just have an opinion that, you know, God is not a bad thing to have.
Unless you play football.
Hmm?
Unless you play football, then apparently when you pray to God, you wind up losing.
You wind up losing. Well, I find that really hard to believe.
I told you the Steelers didn't win a Super Bowl until they finally kicked the priest out of the locker room. They had a priest in their locker room for 30 years.
Right.
They finally told him to get lost. They won 4 Super Bowls. What do you think of that, darling?
Well, I go to a religious school, and, you know, our school teaches that God allows things to happen.
How's your football team doing?
Our football team?
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, really?
We win.
There's only been one game of the season. How do you know how good they're going to do?
Well, in past years, like last year or in the year before that, we won the Independence Championship 2 years. And before that, we sucked, but...
There you go. Before that, you sucked.
But we're still a religious school, so...
That's what I'm talking about, see? And
she just got done saying, though, for the last 2 years, their football... What's the name of your high school, ma'am?
The Academy of the New Church.
Academy of a New Church.
What is it? Renewed Church?
The New Church, yeah.
The New Church.
Yeah,
right.
It's a very small...
And you say that your school sucked last year.
But they were good
not
the
last
2 years.
Year.
And not only
two
that...
2 years ago.
But let me tell you something else. What about all these Catholic high schools that do really well? What about...
All right, let's take Notre Dame, for instance. They hired a guy named Jerry Faust to be their head coach in the mid-1980s. You remember Jerry Faust?
Yeah, he came out of Cincinnati Molar High.
Right, a Catholic high school. The guy was a devout Catholic. He prayed every day. He goes to Notre Dame. He stinks to join out. I mean, wow, what a stench. The smell that Jerry Faust left at the Notre Dame football program, they've still got the windows open today. And the guy prayed every day. Do you understand
that
what
doesn't necessarily mean that his prayers are going to get answered.
Well,
you know, not everyone's do. That's the thing.
I'm just saying that the guy prayed every day to, like, the Virgin Mary. He prayed to the greatest thing you could pray to, like Mary and virgins and stuff. And he's, like, saying a rosary, and he's lighting candles, and he's beating himself with towels and everything. And he goes out, and he gets his ass kicked. And
would you please watch your language?
I'm sorry?
Please watch the language.
No, but I'm just saying. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Jerry Faust gave it a good shot. Been a lot of guys that stunk that program out. Guy right this year ain't doing that.
They beat Texas A&M.
All right, well, whatever. Anyway, dear, thank you for your call, okay?
Thanks.
Thanks, bye-bye. How can you say Jerry Faust is an example?
Jerry Faust, the priests hired that guy at Notre Dame because he would bleed green. He bled green, okay? And he prayed and he wept and all like what their monks did, you know? I mean, wearing hair shirts, and he would stick knitting needles in his rear end. He stuffed it in.
What are you talking about?
What I'm saying is the guy was a martyr to his faith.
Okay, so in other words, he did all the stuff that God would want him to do.
And he winds up, I mean, the odor.
Yeah, they got the window open to this day.
You got it.
All right, here is North Carolina on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. You can't blame Jerry Faust for the whole Notre Dame thing, though. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I just think that, you know, if you're going to consider what you're saying, then the folks that are out here praying, if they're not sincere and if they're not born-again Christians, God doesn't hear the prayer.
You mean Catholics, he don't hear their prayer.
Hey.
That's what you're saying.
Okay, yes, sir. If they're not born-again Christians, it makes any difference what religion they are.
There you go, Phil.
Catholics, Protestants, or whatever.
But now I got one for you. Neon Dion's a born-again Christian. Guess what he did the last 2 years? The stench has followed him to Washington. That's how bad that guy has stunk it out. So that theory about born-agains, that don't work neither. And that's what my book's all about. Jesus hates your football team. What's your favorite team, sir?
I don't know. Maybe Dallas. They're not doing too good.
Yeah, boy, yesterday. Yeah. You see, that's the whole thing that I'm saying. And I love football.
Would you call yourself a religious man, Mr. Rifkin?
As far as it goes, but we all got to swim in the same water, you know. I mean,
well, whatever that means.
I'm just saying, you know, I pray, but I, when it comes to betting, I don't pray because I figure God don't like that.
And you still bet?
Yes, I do.
All right, sir, in North Carolina, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
All right, so that guy said born again.
Yeah, see, them born agains think Catholics are garbage. So right away, they ain't going to think no Catholic go to heaven. But what I did...
All right, did you break it down to according to religion?
No. Any guy that prayed, and I figured a prayer to Jesus, except for them Muhammad guys, like, they might be praying to Allah. So I broke it down to Jesus only.
Well, how many of those... What do you mean Muhammad guys?
If they had a name like Salam Muhammad or something, I figured they're praying to Allah. Only the guys like Deion Sanders or whatever, they had a regular Christian last name on the guys that I figured praying to Jesus. And I didn't break it down according to religion. Catholic, born again, whatever. They all stink it out.
All right, let's go to Temecula on the Phil Henry Show. Temecula, hello.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
If you'd stop praying for your favorite team, your team might start playing good. This is the point I'm trying to make in my book.
Go ahead.
Well, are you the writer of that bug?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
I think you're full of baloney.
Why don't you roll your window up?
Well, I have a hard time hearing you right now.
You're having a hard time hearing me because you got the top down in your car.
I don't believe you did the tracking that you claim
have
done.
Yes, I did, sir.
Okay, listen, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I'm going to turn the radio back on and listen. You take care.
All right, wait
I don't think
sir.
Your book will fail.
Well, it already has. I'm a millionaire.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Okay, let me just wait for him to turn his radio back on here. I think it'll take about 7 seconds. You're a dork.
You're a dork. That's what I waited all over.
That's right. You're a dork.
Hey, how come I don't hear the...
Oh, I'm sorry. There it is.
1-800-449-8686. The author, Brad Rifkin, with me, his book, Jesus Hates Your Football Team. He's tracked football players and football teams that have used prayer, and he says that players who pray wind up with major injury. Teams that pray lose. It's the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. One 800 449 8686. I'm Phil Hendry. Brad Rifkin, the author of Jesus Hates Your Football Team, is with us. And your book basically, Brad, debunks the idea that praying is going to help you win. In fact, you say that you've tracked football players who pray or who show some outward sign of religion, crossing themselves, pointing to the sky after a touchdown, etc. You say that those players generally, over a three-year period, wind up with a career-ending injury.
That's correct.
And that football teams that pray win only 29% of the time. Now, I have a question for you.
Right.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, who you claim prayed for 30 years and then kicked the priest out of the locker room and won 4 Super Bowls, guess what?
What?
They got blanked for the first time yesterday at home.
Yeah, they brought the priest back.
Wait a minute.
They did. They brought the priest back in because they had been smelling it up so bad that they...
They stunk it out so bad they brought the priest back.
Yeah, and look what happens. Look what happens. And
I maintain the reason why they won isn't because they kicked the priest out. They hired a guy named Chuck Knoll. And
Chuck Knoll had a good run, but he didn't win no Super Bowl in the 80s, and he didn't win no Super Bowl in the 90s. The reason why the Steelers are starting to smell it up again is they're starting to pray again, and that's going to kill them. That's a stake through the heart of any football team, prayer. When they put their hands together and they go, now like that, did you ever see that movie Rudy?
Yeah, the kid...
Right, the kid in Notre Dame. Because it, Our Lady of Victory, pray for us! They smell it out. Notre Dame ain't even in the top 25. Now, I know they beat Texas A&M. Those guys, for a religious school, they should be winning every year. Every year, they're religious. They pray to Jesus, and they pray to
the Virgin Mary.
They pray to her. And they ought to be winning every year. They don't. Why? I'll tell you why. She can't stand them. The Virgin Mary can't stand the sight of the fighting Irish of Notre Dame. And if she hears one more prayer from those freaking leprechauns, she's going to pitch her guts up. Now, I'm telling you, that's the truth. That's why I wrote the book. That's why I think people ought to buy it.
Okay, who and who publishes Jesus Hates Your Football Team?
Yeah, it's Hitchcock Press, and the book is now out in hardback, $39.95. It'll be out in paperback in probably 6 months.
All right, let's go to Miami on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm calling to comment. I'm a Christian. I'm not a religious person. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I pray. I believe in prayer. It's worked in my life.
You play football?
But I'm calling because I agree with the author in the sense that praying to win a football game has no logic whatsoever.
Hey, do you play football? Do you play football?
I love football.
Do you play it?
Just not organized.
You don't play for
football,
the Dolphins.
No.
You don't play for the Dolphins.
I'm sorry.
Do you play for the Miami Dolphins?
I should. The way they look.
Yeah, they look bad, man. Only beating them 23-0. Do you play for the? What does he mean? The way they look, they beat them 23-0. Do you pray for your favorite team?
No, I don't.
Who is your favorite team?
The Chicago Bears.
They need it.
Yeah.
They need you not to pray
no,
for them.
No, they need. They,
don't
they
pray
need,
for them. Don't pray
they
for them.
They need. They need. They need good players. They need organized.
They need a better quarterback.
Players.
Down too.
But prayer is not what they need. They need.
You got it.
They need more talent. They need more
right.
finesse. They need more.
I say that if you
want
to
win, I don't know, whatever
you
want to call it,
injured.
And
that's
not prayer.
Wrong. That's
because
wrong.
My point is, if you have two teams that
so
pray, then what dilemma God has?
Talking to you.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Not you, him.
Oh.
Here is, let's go to 1-800-449-8686, and we're going to go to the Albany, New York call. Albany, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I am calling about the man who wrote the book.
That's me, ma'am. Brad Rifkin. How are you?
Yes.
Yes, dear.
You wrote the book on prayer.
Jesus Hates Your Football Team is the name
Please.
Of my book, yes.
Christ does not hate. Christ
well,
does not
he
hate.
Hates, he
you
hates
do not teams. Understand Christ. You do not understand
Christ.
Religion.
Are you Catholic?
I am a Christian Catholic,
yes. Because you say Christ. See, most Jesus freaks, I mean, you know, these fundamentalists, they say Jesus, they don't say Christ.
Well, let me tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm
going to
put you in my prayers.
No, God, please, that's it. My spleen will rupture.
I am
going to
pray
for you. If you pray for me, my spleen's going to rupture if you pray for me.
Well, then you need it. But I'm going to pray for you because you're being ridiculous.
No, ma'am, my book tracked the success of football players over 3 years. I found that football players who prayed had ruptured spleens.
No, get out.
Yes. You want me to get out of here?
Get out of here.
No,
you
it's
don't
true.
Understand you religion, so therefore, why are you talking about
it? I do. I wrote a book about it.
Basically, ma'am, his book says that he tracked the success of teams that pray, and they only won 30% of the time.
29%.
That doesn't mean that prayer doesn't work.
Well, basically, what Heath says is Jesus hates those teams.
Jesus doesn't hate.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
On a limited basis, but he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, sir. I'm going to hang up now, and I'm going to pray for you.
If you hang up, that's good. If you pray for me, that's bad.
Well, I'm going to do both.
I'd rather you stay on the line and not pray for me.
I'm going to do both. Goodbye.
No, please, no. Just do one or the other. Don't. Oh, God.
She's going to pray for you, man.
It goes by spleen.
1-800-449 your spleen.
Yeah, seriously, Phil, I have a fear of a ruptured spleen. I don't know what that is, but I had a cousin rupture a spleen once.
Yeah?
How does that happen?
Ruptured spleens generally happen in automobile accidents.
Oh, all right.
Well, what do you mean, oh, okay?
I don't know what causes a rupture. Do they spontaneously rupture?
No! You can rupture a spleen in an automobile accident. It's very, very traumatic.
Oh, boy. You know what? That old bag's praying for me.
How do you know?
Because I can feel it. Ooh, yeah. Oh, it burns. It burns.
All right, here's Montebello on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I was calling in regard whoever this man is that wrote the book. He is sick.
No, ma'am. I'm trying to help people.
No, you're not helping them when you say the prayer isn't answered. If a person can live to be 88, almost 89,
who's that?
Have their prayers answered.
Do you know anybody like that?
I sure do.
Who?
I'm one of them.
Oh, you? Oh.
And
Did you play pro football? Or?
I didn't play football.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right.
But don't say that the prayers aren't answered. If the person really prays and
right.
is earnest and prays to the Lord.
If his name is Ernest and he prays.
No.
Well, look,
quit being a wiseacre.
No, I just want to ask the lady. Wait a second. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I know. You didn't play football, correct?
Naturally
then
not.
Then how do you know that prayer doesn't cause guys' spleens to rupture?
Well, how do you know that it does?
Because we track these guys. Look,
yeah, but you say they're praying. You don't know just because they kiss the cross or pray to the Pope. That doesn't say they're praying.
That's exactly right. So when this guy kisses a cross, a genuflex, and then he goes out and gets his leg busted up, Joe Theismann had his leg broken, Phil, in 1985 on a Monday night football game. You remember that?
How could I not? Everybody in the country saw that. It was a horrific leg break.
Right. It was on replay. Just before he got his leg broken, he pulled a gold chain from around his neck, kissed the cross, and crossed himself, and genuflect toward the referee.
Did he pray to the Lord? No, he probably prayed to Mary or the Pope or someone else.
He was praying to a saint. Ain't that like praying?
If you pull a cross out of your pocket or something,
he pulled a cross out of his
pants. Say you're praying to God.
Yeah, he was. He was praying to, well, maybe not. He was praying to the referee.
To the referee, see, that's not the same thing.
Well,
right?
I still
right.
say you're giving an awful lot of people a bad impression because Jesus does answer prayer if you're sincere.
Well, apparently not.
Always has.
For 30 years.
Well, I know you're taking up your time because
yes, thank you very much.
I think you're sick.
Is this Art Rooney,
bye-bye.
By the way? Thank you for calling, Art.
Okay, you're a real wise ass.
I wrote a book. I just want people to know that
I know what you want people to know, okay? That your book is out.
In paperback in 6 months.
Great. And
oh, God, there goes the spleen. Oh, God.
What is she?
She's praying for me. I know. No, wait a minute. It's gas. Yeah, okay, it was gas. Talk about spelling the joint.
Look, get your book and get out of here with Jesus doesn't like your football team.
No, Jesus hates it.
Jesus hates your football team. I got it. By the way, Mike, do we have copies of that? Because I want to give them out at Christmas. Okay, anyway, 1-800-449. I'd like to give them out to the next football team if I could. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Man, am I sunburned. I got bad sunburn this weekend on my back because I spent some time outside. Finally got a little water in the pool, so I finally, you know, went out and swam in it. And, oh, yeah, I forgot about sunblock, so I got scorched 2 days running. But anyway, we did some phone calls last night because we were on the phone, I don't know, for a couple hours because we want to get some parents out at this tailgate party for our oldest guy's first football game of the year, which is coming up on Friday night. So they're going to have a tailgate party. And I don't know. Maybe it's what I do for a living. Maybe it's that I've been the object of some really malicious and hateful stuff in my life because of what I do for a living. It's nothing personal. I understand that. I'm a talk show host, so people target you. But I get a little gun shy and I get a little skittish. So we're on the phone and we're calling to the various parents about this tailgate party. And I said, hi, this is Phil Hendry and my wife, Maria, and we want to let you know about the tailgate party this, Friday night, and it's going to be this much money, and it's going to be so-and-so. And one of the ladies I talked to, she goes, how about some beer? Can we bring beer? And I'm like, boy, don't I wish. Well, I don't think it's cool because, you know, it's a high school thing. Well, you know, she says, my husband works for Anheuser-Busch. And I said, well, that sounds like a really cool deal. Let's have a kegger party at your house later on or something. And, you know, it's, well, I know, I'm just kidding, blah, 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 blah. So we had that conversation, so it was sort of on my mind when I called the next family. And a guy answers. I said, hi, this is Phil and Maria, and we're calling for the high school, and there's going to be a tailgate party this weekend. And oh, that's swell. Yes, sir. And if you'd like your family to come along. And what are they serving? I go, well, they're going to have barbecue there, and it's going to be this much money. Is that it? I said, well, if you want, you can bring a few beers. Oh, no, 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 says the guy. And I suddenly realized I probably stepped over the line with him a little bit. I said, well, I'm just kidding, of course. Well, sure enough, man, I hear about it today. Sure enough, I hear about it today. My wife says somebody called the school and said one of the men who was calling about the tailgate party said that one of the fathers who was calling about that, he mentioned beer. I said, I was kidding. I was kidding. You see, my big question, and I think I'm asking it in a much better way than Robert Plant did on the Song Remains the Same live album when he said, does anybody remember laughter? He said it in a much more fey way, but let me just say it as a macho guy. Does anybody remember laughter? What happened to laughing it up a little bit? A little bit of a kidding here or there. A little joke. Well, the guy mentioned beer. I'm joking. But he's got to go to the people, and he's got to make a thing out of it. Because, you see, life can't be easy. Can't be an easy thing. God knows. We got to get out of bed, and the first thing we got to do is we have to have a problem somewhere. You see, that's the way we are as people. And that's the way we are as human beings in relation to the human. We got to have a problem, don't we? Get out of bed. Let's get a problem. Come on. Where is it? Where's the problem? I gotta have a problem today. Oh, I know. A guy called me last night and was joking about beer. So let me make a problem out of that today. You know, my wife and I are calling around and we're supporting the team and we're trying to get people out to the thing. And Jesus, you know what? If you don't want to come, don't come. How about that, sourpuss? I'm joking around. Of course we're not gonna have beer at the freaking thing. There's kids there. I'm going to call the school and mention the beer because the guy and the thing. You know, you can't have any laughs anymore, folks. Laughs, humor, having fun, it's against the freaking law in America. Just, you better just open your eyes to this concept. Having a good time is now officially against the law. And you will go to jail. Well, I say that figuratively. You can't go to jail for it, but you can get sued. Or maybe you could have your kid kicked out of school, whatever. And I made it very clear before we sent him to school, I said, you know what, this is what I do for a living. I said, and I don't want anything that I do, anything, any behavior on my part, public or otherwise, reflect upon him. No, it will not. So I don't have a problem with the guys that run the school. I've got no problem with them. It's just this is the atmosphere that we're now going to be in with these other parents. And they know what's best. So that's why Hendry and Maria, that's why the two of us came into this world, to just put the kibosh on people like that. Because we know what's best. So because being funny is against the law, as of today, we'll do away with anything funny on this show. Now, I know some of you listen and say, well, you've already done that, Phil. But frankly, we know how funny this program is. It's just about as funny as anything else on the air, probably more so than most. But today, it's over. And we'll go back to being lame and pedestrian and middle of the road and lowbrow like everybody else. Speaking of that, how about that Monday Night Football? By the way, I think Dennis Miller's going to do fine. Problem is, he's got Al Michaels to deal with. And I mean that very sincerely. Let me give you the, because you haven't heard this definitive review yet on Monday Night Football. Not that I know what I'm talking about. When it comes to football, I do know what I'm talking about. And when it comes to football commentary, I also know what I'm talking about. This is one of the few areas of life that I know anything about. And let me say this about Dennis Miller. He's a very funny man who is not going to make it on that show because a lot of his references are over the heads, not only of the audience, but more importantly, they're over the heads of Al Michaels and Dan Fouts. Okay, and the other reason why he probably won't make it on that show is because Al Michaels has got to try and top everything that he says. Now, there is an attitude across America today. I don't know where it started. I don't know how it began. I don't know whether we can stop it. And I don't know whether anybody's interested in stopping it. But somehow, somewhere along the way, somebody got the idea that Al Michaels is God's gift to broadcasting. And what he says goes. And we just got to make Al happy. Now, they blew it. And they're blowing it with their numbers with Dan Dierdorf. They blew it with Frank Gifford. They blew it with Boomer Esiason. Their numbers stink the joint out. Hey, guess what? Maybe it's Al's fault. Has anybody looked down that avenue? Well, of course not, because ever since that Miracle on Ice, Do You Believe in Miracles? Yes, everyone thinks this guy is the second coming of Jesus when it comes to a broadcast. Al Michaels is a good, very good, basic play-by-play guy. He ain't funny. Where do you ever get the idea that he was? And when Dennis Miller opens his mouth to say something, Al Michaels thinks he's got to top it. And that's when the show really goes into the toilet. You know, Dennis got off a couple of funny lines about the jacket. And he said, and Al Michaels says, where'd you get the jacket? He said, out of your closet, Al, which is moderately funny. And other things like that. Michaels has got to come back with something all the time. If that guy Ohlmeyer really gave a crap about that broadcast, he'd tell Al, shut up. Just do the play-by-play, Al. Be quiet with the comebacks. It's a pet peeve of mine. Al Michaels and Bob Costas, they're good. And then somebody said they're funny. Now, I don't know who that was, but someone told Bob Costas he was funny. Somebody told Al Michaels he was funny. And now they think they're funny. And so they hire a guy like Dennis Miller, who ought to be given full reign. They should let Dennis Miller go wherever he wants to go in that broadcast and say whatever he wants to say. But I can tell they've already probably put the kibosh on a few things. They're probably already pulling the reins in on him. That's very obvious what they're doing to him. And not only that, they've probably also said to him, now let's not forget, this is Al's show. Well, guys, you fired three people in the last 3-4 years. The one guy you ain't canned yet is Al Michaels, and your numbers still blow, and nobody still wants to watch your football game. And John Madden said it better than anybody else. When you got to start doing tricky, gimmicky things to get people to watch a football game, maybe football sucks. Have you thought about that? When you have to start doing all of this gimmicky stuff to get people to watch a football game, maybe the game itself just ain't what it used to be. Now, I like it, but it's never going to have the big numbers it had back in the 70s. That's just the way it is. Just suck on that for a while, okay? And fire Al Michaels. Try that. I'll bet you anything that's worth 10 more rating points. I got money that says it is. And if I'm wrong, we'll try and get your money out of me. Sue me. Get in line. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.